And let's go.
Hello everyone and welcome to ADHD Explorers. Today we're exploring mindfulness and we're going to simplify it and it's going to be great. This is Addy. This is Bennett. What's up?
Hey.
Welcome. This is what is ADHD? We're a group of people that think, okay, we're going to take ADHD as it is and we're going to make the most of it. So today we're going to explore what WTF is mindfulness and why should we care? So because like when you're exploring mindfulness, there's so many random terms and it turns me off straight away when I'm trying to read about it. And so I want it simply and I want it like clearly communicated. So that's what I'm going to promise for you today. This is the ADHDer's guide for mindfulness for ADHDers. Mm-hmm. When we look at the science of mindfulness, like what is it really? It shows us, and you can Google any of this, ADHD and mindfulness, and it shows that, why should you care about this? The science at the moment says that after a course or when you start a mindfulness habit, it increases your focus retention on the task and also decreases depression and anxiety. And so the science is there. And when you try and understand it, it's so full of noise, and the signal is very low of like the core principles. And so that's what we want to share with you today, so you can take this podcast and take these skills of mindfulness with you practically. So that's awesome, and I'm really excited. Like, my heart is racing to tell you this, because like mindfulness has like made the biggest difference to my life. And when someone says that's mindfulness, awesome. you think a bit like, oh, is this some hippy dippy thing? But now the science has proven that it like actively helps you choose where your attention goes, because when you have an ADHD mind, your attention kind of jumps around like a bumblebee. Like, if attention is the camera of the mind, maybe you see your attention jump straight to, oh, this new toy or this new hobby, and it seems like everything, and your attention can jump to maybe, yeah, you're really hungry for cakes and cakes is all you can think about. And so if I could simmer it down, what mindfulness is just having this intention to watch what is going on in your mind and like just be aware of it. That's the simplest thing I can say. Like someone wise, I was in Thailand at a Buddhist monastery, and a monk was teaching mindfulness, and he said, mind is like an iPhone, many notifications. And I think that is the best kind of like explainer of what mindfulness is. It's like you start a task and you want to fully engage with that task without any extra like tabs going. So you're doing the task and then you're just aware, oh, this has popped up into my mind, and you're just like, okay, cool. You're just like, and that's your reaction. And having that as your reaction rather than tapping on that notification means you can stay fully engaged in the task without that thought that would pop in interrupting your flow. And I just think it's amazing that we can, like, when I started researching mindfulness, I thought, like, I don't know if I can do this, like, I've got ADHD and my mind jumps around like crazy, like, I've closed my eyes, I've tried meditation, I hate it, it will never be for me. And if you have those thoughts, that is totally normal, and I'm here to like say to you, like, we're gonna do so good. So as a first little example, we're just going to fully engage with one thing. Maybe you're feeling some emotions right now. I thought it would be nice if we just fully breathe in over like 4 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then exhale it for like 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And I think that is like the fastest way to come down from an emotional state. Because I think a lot of the time, what is really getting in the way of focus are our emotional states. It's our nervous system. It's our primal, like, dinosaur brain activating fight, flight, freeze. All of these things that get in the way of, like, you doing what you want to do. an advantage of mindfulness is that, like, let's say we're at work and we get triggered emotionally, really intense emotion fires up so fast, right? Maybe our boss told us what to do, and that's one of our triggers. And we start yelling at our boss. Because that happens so fast, that trigger and that emotional reaction to yell, it means we're yelling at our boss all of a sudden, and we've kind of like lost our job. And so this plays out in so many areas of life. Do you know what I mean? I think that happened to you, Addy, didn't it? Like, didn't you, like, tell your boss?
I definitely had emotional outbursts at work.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us ADHDers have. And so, like, not often people come along like, okay, I can help you with that. And that's what we're going to help with today. Because I like to see these kind of emotional reactions as kind of emotional trances. You know how when you, like, let's take anger, for example, it happens really fast. Something comes into our mind that, like, pisses us off. It triggers us. Instantly, we got way more adrenaline flowing through our body. We've got these anger hormones flowing around, like cortisol. They flood our system. Our nervous system is triggered into that state. And what happens is your prefrontal cortex, your thinking rational brain that is full of executive function ability, right? That's the part of our brain that does executive function. As soon as we're triggered, that shuts down. You ever felt like that? That when you're angry, like, you're not thinking logically at all. And that's why. And so we are just doing what that primal part of our brain wants us to do. It wants us to kill that thing. It wants that thing to go away no matter what. And our behavior is just a result of what this primal part of our brain that evolved so long ago is. It's just serving that. All of our brain is just serving that when we're triggered. And so I feel like what mindfulness is, it's like you're waiting for that moment and you know when it happens and you can address it with just like nodding at it or labeling it. And when you label it, it's like our executive function can stay online. So let's give an example. Let's say I say, oh, your new haircut is so rubbish, even though it's great. Okay. And you get really upset. You're like, why you do this to me? You're sad. How long does that emotional reaction last? Like, before I started, these emotional trances were like days long, and I'd feel sad for so long, or I'd feel angry for so long. And I feel like what mindfulness is you breathe in, you breathe out. You're like, this is the state of my mind in this moment. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you can almost move on. Because you've like labeled it, you've like woven it into your narrative. And so Brené Brown, she's an amazing researcher of the human mind and emotions. This is what she does. When she feels a strong emotion, she just goes, anger, 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 anger.
So just
anger.
Like names it?
Yeah, over and over again. And that sounds crazy, right? You're going to walk around like anger, anger, anger. But what that does is because you're labeling the emotion, your prefrontal cortex stays online, that logical thinking part of your brain. It's like you're trying to start an engine that doesn't want to start. You're like, I'm going to label this. I'm going to observe this rather than react to it. It's like, I'm going to swipe this notification instead of tapping on it. Because let's say I said your hair is ugly. You feel sad, even though your hair is amazing. This is just an example. It's so good, Addy. It's so good. let's say I made you sad. It's not like ignoring the emotion. It's almost like you're just keeping that executive function online. And I think that a massive part of ADHD is that we keep getting emotionally triggered. Maybe it's a technical problem. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe it's shame. And it activates like fight, flight, or freeze. We react with biting, or we react with kind of feeling immobile or numb. And so to come, what is needed to in that moment is for the mind to just like reset for a second. And when we exhale slowly, this is a top tip that I wanted to share that I learned actually from a free diving course, that when you exhale longer than you inhale, it stimulates the vagus nerve, which runs down your spine. all the way down.
You know that like in freediving?
Yeah. Because in freediving, you need to like slow down your metabolism and stay as calm as possible to use less oxygen. And therefore, you can stay under the water longer.
I learned it in therapy.
Really? Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. Like, if I knew that exhaling longer than inhaling could like solve all my like emotional problems long term, I would think it was crazy. I honestly,
it's also really common in like yoga practices, right? Which is like a big part of, I think, why yoga practice is like you come out of it so like centered and calm often.
Yes, I feel like a core principle of mindfulness is fully engaging with something, like let's say especially a sense or
sensations
within the body. Because what are you doing in yoga? Like, why does yoga work so well? It's because you're placing your attention on your body and you're seeing how long you can keep it there. And that's the game. We will get distracted, and that's the nature of the mind. So you never feel bad. But like, it's like meditation on the go, I'd say mindfulness is. It's like you go to yoga, or you're doing whatever task, and you can do it for any task, but you're really paying attention to either the sensations of the body or maybe a sound. Like you can do it when you listen to any piece of music. You can listen to like one instrument at a time, and you just see like, how long can I listen to that instrument for? How long can I listen to the bass? How long can I listen to the violins? What are they doing? You know, it trains your attention to, instead of jumping around like a bumblebee, it's just staying on one thing. And so mindfulness is almost like a playground. Well, the body is a beautiful playground to train your attention. And so when you're in yoga and you're focusing on your body for an hour, the mind gets all of this connection with the body. And it means
that mind-body connection
feels seen.
Gets built up.
Yeah. The greatest explanation I can share is my mom is legally blind, and she learned to read Braille. And when blind people read Braille, they increase the density of the sensors in their forefingers so they can read. It almost strengthens that neuronal connection, that connection between your mind and your fingers. And how did that happen? Because that person was placing their attention on the sensations of their fingers, and it strengthened that network. And the more you use those like highways of electrical signals, the stronger they get, the bigger they get. And what happens in ADHD, you know, we experience all these intense emotions, and we find ourselves constantly in these emotional trances, you know, like, oh, I'm in shame for 3 days, I'm burned out. And we never learn to rejuvenate. And mindfulness is that rejuvenating place. It's when you're not thinking, you don't have the tabs can go, actually stay open, and they can be going. That's not like, it's not like about clearing your mind. It's more about intentionally placing your focus instead of it just jumping around wherever it wants to, like a wild bull. And so
I think it's more appealing for like 80 people than standard like meditation, because to me standard meditation in my mind is like sit on a cushion and like think about nothing and don't move, and like that for me is like that's never gonna happen. Like it's not appealing to me.
And that's what mindfulness happened to me. Like
I've done like mindful walking, where you're like walking and you're paying attention, you go through your senses, you're like, okay, for the next like minute I'm gonna focus on the feeling, like the feeling of my feet ground, the feeling of like the air on my skin. And then the next minute it's like, okay, I'm gonna listen to what I can hear while I'm walking, and then like just what I can see. And so you go through like your senses while you're going for like a little walk, and that helps you also just like train yourself to feel things and focus on things.
I have this feeling that like for ADHD I built this like wonderland in my mind, where I would go like my brain would be so averse to like hard effort, for example, or like intense things, so I'd just go off and live in my daydream land. And I didn't realize that daydream land was like 85% of the time. And I feel like by using like my body as a playground to like intentionally place attention and like see how long it could be there, I feel like the more often I did that as a pattern, the more I kind of broke through from being my attention being in my mind, playing old records and old like same old like narratives, like, oh, you're rubbish. Instead, I can place it in my body, and I feel like when I place my attention in my body, I'm just watching how it moves second by second, or the sensations. And I feel like the more I've done that, the more I'm actually looking at the world, how it is second by second. And I'm more in my environment than in my mind. And this, I don't know, does this sound crazy to you? But maybe this is like the progress of healing. But I feel like the more I've learned to place my attention in my environment, or on like one sense at a time, I feel like the more detailed the world has become, and the more immersed I have become in my environment, rather than just living in this permanent daydream that I didn't even know I was in.
Well, I think it helps you become more present, like in the day-to-day. And that in itself, I think, is a beautiful thing, because when you're more present in your day-to-day, you can appreciate like the small things that happen around you. And then that helps you build gratitude. And like, we all know that gratitude is like great for well-being. So yeah, I think just by like focusing on like what's actually here, as opposed to like, it's great that we have these creative brains that can create these amazing like dream worlds.
It's like, you ever seen Ferris Bueller? And he goes, you might as well look around once in a while, else you'll just miss life, or else you'll miss it. I feel like it's a bit like that. Like the day to day and the task list and everything becomes like the entire like program your brain is running, and it's almost like on top of that, mindfulness is kind of like going through life and just seeing like, what am I intaking right now? Like, what's affecting how I'm living life? And it's just fascinating to me. Like, why wasn't I taught this growing up? Oh, by the way, you can control where your attention goes. And like, this is how it works. Oh my gosh. So one way I feel like I want to describe it is, you know, like when you're looking at the sky at night and you're looking at the star field. At the beginning, you only see a few stars. But the longer you look, the more stars come, right? And I feel like it's like that for everything. It's like that for the sensations of the body. It's like that for when you're listening to music. The more attention you kind of, like, I feel like attention is like a pack of dogs. You know, like you're trying to walk like 10 dogs, and there's a greyhound that always wants to go and chase that squirrel over there. And so like, the more spread out all these dogs are, the less you can really take in what you want to take in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got a dog over there, you got a dog over there, you got a dog thinking about your bank account. But who knew that? I think that mindfulness is like, you're putting them all in one place. You like, listen to this one piece of music.
Like, you have just a only whistle focus on and that. Then you like blow the whistle and all the dogs come running.
Yeah, basically, you're like reminding them, like, hey, this is what it is. And I feel like that's the natural, like, it's a natural rejuvenating place as that becomes more and more common. You're like less overthinking, less super overanalyzing. And it's really made a difference to my life. So
it's the new year. And yeah, people are starting off. A lot of people probably have goals to be more mindful or start a mindfulness practice. So, like, what do you suggest? How should we get started with mindfulness?
I'll simplify it the best way I ever heard it described. It's just, so it's fully engaging with the task at hand, right? Fully engaging with what's going on. And the best way I ever heard it described, I met this guy on a beach, and he had this like really lovely presence. And he had like, you know, some people have this aura that seems like a bit magical or something. This guy had it. And I was like, dude, what's your secret? And he's just like, mindfulness, mate. And I was like, oh, well, can you explain that to me? Like, what is that? He was Aussie guy. And he goes, oh, our dad, he always said that when you taste something, taste like it's the last thing you'll ever eat in your whole life. Taste it like it's discontinued and you'll never get the opportunity ever again. He said, when you look at something, pretend it's the last time you'll ever see and take it in like as much as you can. Take it in like an artist trying to observe every detail. He said, when you walk, he said, kiss the floor with your feet. And I always wondered what that meant. And I think the more I've explored it, what he meant is like, you know, when you kiss, you're really paying attention to those lips. You know, you're just feeling the lips. He's like, really feel what your feet is feeling. And I thought that was like really interesting. So I did it for a day. And man, that day was great. That day was freaking awesome. I feel like I really learned something that day. I felt like
Do you remember more from that day than you think you do?
It's very vivid. Like from, he said,
yeah.
He said, when you touch something, touch it like you can absorb every texture. Well, he said something to that effect.
Say, touch and it I like was you're going around.
Yeah, well, if you want. And I was going around like feeling like the posts and pillars of the world and the tree bark. And I can still remember that feeling of like the texture. Mm-hmm. I like to describe it as like, what are the things that make you know you're not dreaming right now? Like, what are you aware of right
sensation.
Now?
Sensation. Yeah.
Are you feeling like the seat beneath you? And like my voice and whatever you're interfacing with. I feel like that is like your attention. That's like the camera of the mind at right now. What is the camera of the mind focused on? And having that at the forefront of your mind, what is the camera of the mind focused on, is mindfulness. If I can simplify it down. Because it's a weird subject to talk about really clearly. People use all these terms and terms in from yoga and terms from Hinduism and Sanskrit and things. I think it can confuse people. And so there's some amazing books on this, and the science is amazingly like shown. And I just think that if we look at the world like it's a star field and we can, there's more details than we are aware of, I feel like it becomes crazy obvious what we're missing out on. It's like, think of the amount of times you've eaten a spoonful of food that you've like crafted, maybe like... you've cooked, and you miss it because you were chatting or you were daydreaming or something. And it's almost like mindfulness is not missing all of these beautiful, like the experience of living. It's funny how people, there's certain characters throughout history that have lived this. Like, for example, Leonardo da Vinci, he had this in his journals. He talked about intentionally training the senses. And I think about what Leonardo da Vinci would get up to. And
he's known to be a supposed ADHDer, right?
Yeah, 100% neurodiverse, in my opinion, from observing him and learning about him. And I think he would always be training his senses. He would always be like, when he would listen, he would try and really listen. When he would observe, he would really observe. And you can tell how much he observed because of the details in his
drawings,
tiny sketches. Wow. And I think it's because he always had this lifelong want and desire to train his senses. So I feel like the more you do, the more in your environment you do become. And I don't think it's just the placing your attention on it, but it's also not having like preconceptions about it and not like thinking it's good or bad. Because as soon as you judge something as good or bad, I feel like it's like shorthand. It just becomes a symbol of what it really is instead of what it actually is. You know?
Do you know what was one of my first experiences into, like, I guess, the idea of mindfulness? It was like the first time I took LSD, actually, which is why I think, honestly, they talk about LSD for therapeutic use, because it connects all the neurons in your brain in ways that they're not normally connected. And more so, it connects the prefrontal cortex, like, way more than it usually is.
Yeah,
and especially for those of us.
Exactly,
with ADHD, where our prefrontal cortex is not fully connected all the time. I think it helps a lot. But this is not a therapeutic session. This is just a fun session. But I had this experience with a marshmallow. I was like,
oh, yeah.
Marshmallows feel amazing when you eat them, like the sensation, like it was amazing. And I had this realization that we don't feel our food enough. And I like sat everyone down and I gave them each a single chip. And I was like, don't just eat it though. You have to feel it.
Oh no. Yeah. You have to fully experience it.
This bitch is high.
High resolution.
But I've taken from that, like, I don't know how many years ago that was, but I've taken from that experience, like that concept. Obviously, I don't do it all the time. I'm not always mindfully eating. But when I do, I'm like, oh, yeah. Feel food, like the sensation of food.
It's great. It's like we miss out if we miss it. You know what I mean? It's a fascinating subject. And I really hope this has helped you get an idea of what mindfulness is in a clearer way. It's such a funny thing that it takes time. And at the start, you might be like, what is going on? But after if you try an hour of just like seeing how long you can fully engage with like one sense at a time and notice when you're thinking and when you notice you're thinking, just be like, okay, I'm thinking, and then come back to what you were paying attention to before and make that the flow chart of your mind. Like, that's how I would do it. I'd say like, this is life. And you're living life. It's like the top square flow chart. And then you're doing your task and that's like the thing you're doing. And you're just looking out for when you're thinking. And the more you look out for when you're thinking, you spot it when it comes up. And then it's almost like those old narratives that were part of your old OS that haven't been updated to who you are today, they aren't running the show anymore, and you can make decisions in the moment fresh rather than based on a previous bias. Oh my gosh, I hope this makes sense, because I think I'm too far down the rabbit hole, man. You know, like when I started meditating, I knew that it seemed super impossible for an ADHDer. And I think it took this time of just like, okay, body scan. I'll just scan my entire body and see what's going on. Is there something going on there? And often I feel something in there. And I feel like through increasing the resolution of these sensations, it's like I get a forewarning when I'm about to feel something intense or when I'm under the influence of an emotion. It's like these subtle sensations are giving me all the inklings, you know, like, oh, it's my spidey senses are tingling that I might be getting pissed off or tired right now. And I feel like just that metacognition, that observation of my own senses means that the brain and the body can like look after each other and work in harmony, like a caring parent to a wild monkey-minded baby son that never got to fully grow his prefrontal cortex because he was always in emotional trance. So we're just learning to be like, okay, I see that thought. Okay. And the less emotionally reactive you can be in response, the better, because that's going to be your automatic reaction next time. Like, let's say you ever heard of that anxiety spiral where you're thinking, I'm so shit at myself. I hate myself. And that's the narrative going on in your brain. And I feel that all the time. And so I feel like when I'm like, oh, okay, there he goes again. There's he thinking. So instead of being like, oh, that is my narrative. That is who I am. That is my identity. Instead, I'm looking at it from just under the water, looking at the surface, all that noise. And I'm being like, okay, that is what is going on in my brain right now. Okay. Because you can only make progress with observing where you really are.
100%. Right now. Yeah, I feel like I'm not doing a mindfulness practice like all the time, but I feel like once you kind of start doing it, it becomes like you don't have to like necessarily consciously enter into it. Do you know what I mean? You don't have to be like, it is time for mindfulness practice. You just kind of start doing it all the time. And actually for me, I've noticed that since I don't even remember when I started with the idea of mindfulness, but I have noticed that I've become more aware of my own thoughts and my own thought patterns. And my even like in therapy, my therapist pointed out, she's like, I just want to like point out you're very self-aware. And I was like, thank you. Like, I recently went through a breakup, and I think it was, you know, not too long ago, I was sitting in bed and I had one of those moments where I was like, oh, fucking hell, Adamina, like, you can't make relationships work. Like, this is, like, you'd never have a lasting relationship. And then I went, hey, saw that thought. That, okay. That's enough of that self-talk. Like, let's continue.
Wow. I think that's nice because you're, it's still like we're acknowledging all of these thoughts and accepting that they're part of our reality that comes up sometimes. But then the fact that we can make a little gap between, oh, that is how it is, and, oh, that's some noise playing in my head is like,
it's like noticing the difference between that it's a whole thought different you're life. Having as opposed to being like experiencing it as a truth that you are knowing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I totally know what you mean. I think I discovered mindfulness by accident when I did an hour of yoga for the first time with like a really good yoga teacher. And they were just like, you know, place your attention on your body for the hour. And I just like, tried to like
my toes.
I tried to like really make the most of it. And even though it was uncomfortable, because I think that a big part of mindfulness is accepting whatever is there. You know, I think that like, let's say you're stretching your leg in yoga and you can be like, ah, this hurts. Rah! You know, that can be your default reaction. But I think that mindfulness has this other side of, it's like the other wing, you know, that you need both to fly. It's like, yeah, you focus on something that's like happening right now.
One wing flapping.
But also you need the other wing, which is acceptance of whatever that thing is. Just like being like, okay, that's how it, that's what is going on right now. That is the state of my mind right now. And I think that growing that skill of acceptance, you know, it sounds like if I talked to myself 5 years ago and I was like, oh, you know, you can grow your skill of acceptance, I'd be like, shut up, I hate you, you're a dickhead, you never understand, you don't understand me. I understand if you're feeling that right now. And I went on a meditation retreat and I couldn't focus so much that they were like, okay, you're not going to meditate. What you're going to do is you're going to, you can do whatever you want. You just got to pay attention to your body for like 20 minutes at a time. And so I was cleaning, placing attention on my body and just trying to be chill with it. And a freaking mosquito came, landed on my forehead and started stinging me. And it was so, like the reaction was huge, right? A mosquito was stinging me. And it was so, because I've been placing my attention on my body for so long, it was almost like stronger and exaggerated what I was feeling. This mosquito was like pure hell, divined into one spike, and it was killing me. And I was like, right, I'm going to practice my skill of accepting whatever is going on. This is the state of my mind right now. And I let that mosquito bite my head. And I feel like in that moment, like that's such a weird example. I know. But I feel like in that moment, I learned what is acceptance. And the skill of acceptance can be grown because I didn't react. I just let it happen. Like, and that's, I don't know if you think I'm crazy, but like, I feel really good in my soul. And I can like regulate my emotions really well now because I feel the sensations coming on. And I'm like, okay, I see you. I love you, little man inside. Like little kid that's feeling like afraid or little part of me that's angry, like, hey, I'm going to attend to you. And then it makes me, lets me address the emotion instead of just smushing it down. I understand what's going on. And I feel like because that my body can trust my mind, it like calms down. Because I feel like when we numb out to our emotions, and I know that's a survival tactic our brain does, it doesn't want to feel everything. There's a lot of things to think about. In the external world, why should we feel inside? I feel like when we pay attention to what's going on, it's almost like it gives us this insight into how we're reacting in every moment. And we can go from that and be like, okay, do I have to react like that? It's almost like you get the opportunity to update the OS at all of these opportunities. Because the way you react to these sensations will be the automatic way that you will, your brain will react to it next time. So it's almost like we're choosing what reaction we're going to have next time. So you're going through life, building your acceptance ability of all these random things, building a tolerance to accept uncomfortable feelings inside. And I feel like what that does, it doesn't like make you, you know, it can make you superhuman of like, you know, you can place your focus places and that's really handy. But what it really does, it's almost like you put on, you're walking over rough ground. Like life is always going to be full of rough surfaces and it's just putting on some shoes, you know, so you don't react as intensely And you can just be like, okay, let's address the problem as it is. Like, we'll accept what is going on and then skip through this crazy reactive state for however long it's going to last. And we're going to interrupt that pattern. And we're going to give ourselves a new opportunity to engage with the opportunities of the moment as they are and as they present themselves. It's such a weird topic, but you can Google mindfulness and ADHD and science, and hopefully it'll make sense.
There's
in
a
context
lot of places that talk about it, like WebMD said that a mindfulness meditation strengthens your ability to control your attention, and that meditation is thought to help with ADHD begins your prefrontal cortex. What?
Yeah. Who knew?
And then on like ADHD, they talk about how, it's like helping inner skills, so improves your ability to control your attention, which is what you said, by helping strengthen your ability to self-observe, to train attention, and to develop different relationships to experiences that are stressful. So it's out there. We're not just making it up.
Yeah. I'm so too passionate about this that I feel like I hope I've made sense to everyone. But if you want like a quick tip, just exhale longer than you inhale. And do it 3 times. And I swear you'll feel good. And feel your food. It's so funny. And I'll finish with this anecdote, okay? There's a Buddhist Zen monk who's a bit of a legend in the mindfulness community. He wrote the book on mindfulness, a really good book on mindfulness. And he said, I always think of him when I'm doing the washing up, because he's like, eat a segment of orange and just really pay attention to everything you're experiencing when you eat that orange. Eyes closed. And you'll notice how more flavorful and textureful and detailed that orange becomes. And he said, you can do that with anything. And so he said, like, when it comes to the washing up, you can grab that plate like you've done it 100 times and get like frustrated, like, oh, I have to wash this plate again. Or you can just take a breath and you can fully engage with that task to almost be like the best washer upper that ever lived. And for some reason,
just past the 3000,
treating it like an art, you know, makes it so much more enjoyable. And if you approach anything with this kind of like, oh, let's see when any thoughts come up, let's fully engage with it and let's see when any thoughts come up. And when any thoughts come up, I'm just going to let them be. And I'm going to just come back to fully engaging with that task again. I think of every time I wash up, I'm like, oh, this crap again. Ugh. And then I think, okay, maybe I can treat this like an art form, really enjoy it. And then it's like really cool, because I'm like, oh, look how cool I can wash this up. Look how efficiently I can do it. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, look, it's going like a breeze. There's something about placing a full attention on something that makes it so more detailed and more interesting. And it's almost like when you're scrolling on Reddit, I feel like we use hardly any of our attention and we're not fully processing any of those things. We're just using we're like using like one dog instead of 10 of our attention pack, you know? And I feel like when just next time you are scrolling, when someone gets your attention, just give it one more minute and take it a bit slower instead of like, I call it de-threading your attention, when you like open up loads and loads more tabs that will play in your mind. Mm-hmm. Like scrolling through Reddit opens up loads more tabs. You have way less brain power. And so you're not fully engaging in the task because you've got all these tabs running, using up all your brain power, using up all your brain juice and your attention. So I feel like take an extra minute to like fully engage with whatever you're going and see what your experience is like, is what I would advise.
Really read that Reddit post.
Yeah, really read that Reddit post. And you'll probably get insights that will keep it in your brain longer. So, yeah, I think I'll end there. But thanks so much for learning. I hope this has been really helpful for you. If you have any questions, feel free to PM us at ADHD Explorers Instagram. And keep celebrating every single win you have today. We love you so much, ADHD community.
Rate on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever you listen on. Rate us, review us. We really look forward. Last year we came out of it with a 5-star on Apple Podcasts and a 4.9 on Spotify. So thank you guys so much.
I love you.
Anyone who has been reviewed, and we love you and see you in the next one. Bye.
Send this to the person that needs it the most. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Bye.